Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad you're with us today. We're here to study the Bible. So, are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege of studying your word today. And Father, I pray that as we open the Bible and study your word, that you would illuminate our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would make your word understandable to us, and real and authentic to us, and powerful to us, and life-altering to us today. Bring hope and encouragement to our souls today from your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. So, let's get to the word. We're in John chapter 14. Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead in the town of Bethany. And we are going to read that section of the scripture. Martha's already come out and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus already told her that he is the resurrection. Now, let's pick up. Verse 28 of chapter 11, New King James Version of the Bible. And remember what we studied, the Bible. The whole Bible, say it with me, nothing but the Bible. Can't leave that out. And when she had said these things, that is Martha, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she, Mary, arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her, Mary, in the house, and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then, when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, John chapter 9, also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. All right, that's our passage for today. What an incredible, wonderful passage of scripture. And we're going to stop here, and we're going to focus on this idea of Jesus's compassion for Mary and for Martha. Now, compassion comes from a Latin word, compassio, means to feel for another person's pain, to feel what they're feeling, to connect with their pain and their heartache. And this is clear in this passage. Twice it says Jesus groaned in his spirit for Mary and Martha. He felt their pain so deeply. And then that he wept. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. And I remember when I was in seminary, I had a friend. We all had to pick a verse out to go in with our graduation page, you know, where they put our picture and our curriculum vitae and all that stuff. And he picked Jesus wept. And I asked him, because I thought he was kidding. I thought he was trying to make a joke. And I asked him, why would you make a joke of something like that? He said, I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm trying to highlight the fact that Jesus has compassion for us. Okay, I had to withdraw all the negative judgments that I thought about him. You know, we're all so prone to do that. This is the second time in the Bible where Jesus ever weeps. The other time he weeps is in Luke 19, where as he is about to do the triumphal entry, he pauses on the Mount of Olives, and looking out at all the lost people in Jerusalem, and thinking ahead to what's going to happen to Jerusalem in just a few years, where the Romans are going to destroy the city in 70 AD, and where they're going to kill hundreds of thousands of people, men, women, and children, and export the rest to slavery. He weeps over the broken estate, the sinful estate, the lost estate of men and women. Here, he weeps over the pain and the heartache and the suffering in our hearts that sin has brought. Death was not supposed to be a part of the original plan. But when Adam and Eve ate from that apple or that fruit, whatever it was, in the garden, they brought, Paul says, Romans chapter 5, they brought sin, and sin brought death. And death brings pain, terrible pain, to lose a loved one. And Jesus felt that pain. And he wept. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Son of God, the Messiah, God in the flesh, weeping. Because since he has become fully man as well as fully God, I believe, I got to be careful how I say this, but I believe in a very special way, he was able to feel and identify with that pain. As a human. Now, it's interesting. The words here. Jesus groaned in his spirit. Friends, have you ever felt so much pain that you don't even know what to say? You're just like, you don't even know how to express in words how much pain you're feeling or how much compassion you're feeling. Or how bad you're feeling for another person. It just hurts so bad. You know, though, Paul refers to this in Romans chapter 8 when he says, the Spirit of God intercedes for us with groanings too deep to be uttered, where we hurt so bad, we can't even pray. All we can do is just groan in our spirit. And then the Holy Spirit knows what we're feeling and intercedes for us with God. He says, to God the Father, if Susie, if George could speak right now, they're in such pain they can't even put their pain in the words, but if they could, this is what they would say and what they would ask for in prayer. Please answer them. You understand? Now, there's another insight into the depth of the compassion that the Lord Jesus feels for us as human beings. In Luke chapter 7, I want you to look there if you've got your Bible. Luke chapter 7, this is a very precious passage of scripture about a widow in a little town called Nain, N-A-I-N. It's just south of the Sea of Galilee, west of the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. On our Israel tours. It's an Arab town now, but there's still a little church, hundreds of years old, that commemorate the spot on which Jesus did this miracle. And I want to read you the passage, verse 11 of chapter 7. And it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. This city was so small, it was just a hiccup on the road. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And as he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when Jesus saw her, verse 13, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he, Jesus, presented him, the son, to his mother. And fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Now, this woman was in bad shape. Not only was she mourning the death of her child, but she was a widow, and now her only son had died. And in Israel, in these days, this was a terrible problem for this widow. How was she going to survive? She couldn't go out and just get a job. This was not an egalitarian society at that point. There were no jobs for women, except being prostitutes or being slaves. How was she going to support herself? And maybe she had daughters, it doesn't say. How was she going to support them? And this was a tragic moment. No husband, no son now. Jesus felt deep compassion for her. You know, it occurs to me, maybe he felt that compassion, at least in part, because his own mother was a widow. And he understood what it meant to have a woman bury a father, a husband rather, or a son. And whatever reason, I don't know of how much that was involved, he felt deep compassion for her. And he raised her son. He didn't raise her son because he wanted to show off. And he didn't raise her son because he wanted to demonstrate what a big shot he was. He raised her son because he had deep compassion for her. Now, I want you to look. In verse 13, it says, the Lord had compassion on her. But that's really not what the Greek word there technically means. The Greek word that's used in that passage is the Greek word splagnizomai. It's a little hard to pronounce, splagnizomai. And your splagna, from which the verse comes in Greek, the verb, splagna means your bowels. Your gut is what the word means. So splagnizomai means to feel something in your gut. In the ancient Near East, they didn't believe that feelings came from your heart like we do in our expression. She was hurting in her heart. She felt something in her heart. He did. No, they believed that people felt things in their gut. So splagnizomai means not just to feel compassion, but technically it means to feel something in your gut. You know how sometimes when you're in so much pain, so much heartache, so much agony, something hurts so bad that it kind of grips you right in your tummy. Well, this is what this verb means. It means to have something that is gut-wrenching. You understand what I'm saying? Gut-wrenching. Visceral is what it means. And that's what the verb says, that Jesus had gut-wrenching, visceral pain and heartache for this woman. He felt it down right here in his tummy. I'm pointing at my tummy. Beautiful word. Beautiful word. Jesus had gut-wrenching pain for her. That's how deeply Jesus feels our pain and our heartache. So much so that in the case of Lazarus, it forced him and brought him to tears. That was the only response at that moment that he could make, is that he wept. Now, That's the end of our passage. But we want now to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on now, here we go. One, two, three. So what? That's right. And now I'm going into this surgery on the 16th. And I'm trusting God I'm going to come out of it all okay. And I came out of my heart surgery. And then I'm going to be back with you in a couple of weeks saying what? After my surgery. Saying what? Come on. How sweet it is. Or as Jackie would say, how sweet it is. I thought I would let him change suits today and go with a darker brown suit. How sweet it is to be with you teaching the word. And may God please allow me many, many more times to do this. Thanks for your prayers. Now, what is the so what? What's the takeaway? What's the not a sermon, just a thought from this passage? Well, it's very simple, friends. God has that same gut-wrenching, visceral reaction when you bring your pain to him. That's what I want you to leave today knowing. God has this kind of gut-wrenching, visceral connection with your pain and your suffering, just like he did here with Lazarus, just like he did with the widow of Nain. It's an amazing thing to think the living God gets that deeply involved in our pain, but he does. I remember I was watching Britain Has Talents, or England Has Talent, or whatever the British thing of America Has Talent. And Simon Cowell was on there as one of the judges. And I was watching this clip where they decided that they were going to give some money to a wonderful charity that Simon started for children who didn't have long to live. You know, they had cancer or some other terminal disease, and everybody knew they weren't going to live a long time, but these were small children. And he started this charity to bring some laughter, some joy, some happiness into their life, whether it was going to Disney World or whatever it might have been. And so they played a clip for about a minute or a minute and a quarter, showing this charity and highlighting these children and showing video of these children and their families. And it was very touching. And when it was over, the host asked Simon to make a comment. And Simon sat there for a moment, and he was so gripped in his splodna, in his gut, over the plight of these children and the pain of these parents, that he couldn't speak. All he could do was bow his head, and he began to weep. Simon Cowell, you know, began to weep. And his girlfriend came up from the audience behind him and put her arms around him from behind and put her head on his shoulder and gave him this big hug and just held him and comforted him. And the judge next to him put her hand on him, and he never was able to speak. They just went to commercial. That is splognizomai. That is feeling another person's pain down deep in your gut, viscerally. This is how Jesus feels about your pain and my pain. And this is why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all of our cares upon him, because he cares for us way down deep, enough to weep for us and enough to do something about it. He did something about it. That's the thing I love about God. He just didn't feel bad for us. That would be nice to have God feel bad for us. So often we say to people, I really feel bad for you, but I don't know what I can do. Yeah, there's so many times you feel bad for somebody and there's nothing you can do. Ah, but we're dealing with the living God of the universe here, my friends. And he can do something about it. And he does do something about it. He did something for the widow of Nain. He did something for Mary and Martha. And you know what? He will do something for you. I don't know what he'll do. Will he take it completely away? The situation? I don't know. Will he bring your loved one back to life? I don't know. What will he do? Will he completely heal your child? I don't know. He can, but he will do something about that pain one way or the other. Because he's God. He won't just feel bad for you. He'll intervene in your life in some way, shape, or form. And this is why the great hymn, I love this hymn. Let me read the first stanza to you to make sure I get all the words exactly right. What a friend, let's put this up on the screen, we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. This simple verse is profound in its ability to direct us to what to do when we're in pain and grief. It simply says, reminding us, one of the greatest truths about God, that God really cares about you and me, and it teaches us how to make it through the toughest moments in life, to bring all of our griefs to God, because he does care. Listen to the last part of the last verse. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Let's put this up on the screen. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let me close with a story about a precious man to me, A.W. Jackson, who was the pastor for many years, 25, at Cherrydale Baptist Church here in Arlington, Virginia. He was a professor of mine, an adjunct professor at Capital Bible Seminary, where I went to seminary over in Lanham, Maryland. We became good friends. I think in class I was a little bit of a screw-up, and he would get a little frustrated with me. But he was a wonderful, wonderful man of God. He was A.W. His first name was Algernon, a Scottish name, I think. You can understand why they just used his initials, Algernon. He and I, after I became the pastor here in Northern Virginia at a neighboring church, he and I became buddies. We were buddies before. And I loved this man. He was precious, precious. But I remember my mother died in 1990. And thank the Lord she had prayed and asked Christ into her heart. And she's in heaven waiting for me. And we were going through some of the worst days with our daughter, Jill. She was 8. And I mean, it was the lowest part of low. I mean, we felt like we were in the deepest, darkest, blackest hole. And my mother passed away right in the middle of that. And I remember we came home from church one Sunday. And we had an answering machine in those ancient days. And we had a message blinking. So I rewound it, and the message was Pastor Jackson. And he had heard about my mother's death. I'm not sure how he heard. And he was calling me to pray with me over the phone and to tell me how much he understood and just that he really cared. And he started to pray. And he broke down and he began to weep on the telephone as he prayed for my mother, not his mother. And as he began to pray for my daughter, not his daughter, mine. But he felt the pain and connected with it so deeply that this dear man of God, he began to weep on the telephone. I was brought to tears rolling down my face that anybody could care that much about me and about my pain. And I kept that message on my answering machine for years till I threw the machine away, actually. And I would go back and listen to it when we were really suffering with Jill. And it would lift my heart to know there was somebody out there who cared that much about me and felt that my pain that deeply. Friend, take A.W. Jackson. Take his phone call. Take the compassion and the gut-wrenching feeling of my pain that he had, and multiply it by 10 billion times more. And that's how God feels and identifies with your pain. Do you believe that? I hope you do, because the Bible says it. And he says that if you simply will bring him all that pain, like a big old pack on your back that's weighing you down, and if you'll just lay it at the foot of the cross, he'll give you peace that passes all understanding for your pain. And he also says that he will step in and turn those painful things into blessings in your life because he's able, if you'll just trust him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the nearest and dearest example of your compassion in that phone call from Pastor Jackson that I've ever had. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love me and you care about my struggles 10 billion times more viscerally than that. And that you don't just care. But in contrast to Pastor Jackson, you can actually do something about it. You can bring me peace in my struggles. You can step in and turn my struggles into blessings, which you promised to do. So, Lord Jesus, help us to bring our pain to you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We will find a place of solace there. So, Lord, encourage our hearts today and thank you for how much you love us and care about us, Lord. We appreciate it deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, so glad you joined us today. I hope that our study of the Word today has brought solace and hope and encouragement to your heart. God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon.